Welcome to Behind the Standards with United Rentals. This is the podcast where we discuss construction safety, typically trench excavation and confined space safety, but also other topics that deal with general job site safety as well. I am Rick Plosinski, customer training specialist, and back with me is trainer extraordinaire Eric Partenheimer. And new to the podcast is another competent person trainer from Denver, Colorado. Please welcome Chris Graham. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So our conversation will hopefully be informative and educational so we can help you better prepare for safe trenching and excavation operations. Today, Eric, Chris, and I will be discussing proper sloping and benching practices. Now, Eric, we discuss these requirements in great detail in our competent person classes, but for some reason, many people still just don't have a firm grasp of what the rules actually are. Have you found that as well?
I have, Rick. This is probably one of the ones that we do spend quite a bit of time on because of things that have been done in the field for years and people not quite understanding the ins and the outs on this. And so we're really trying to break it down. And it's very eye-opening for some people who have been doing something a certain way for years. And then to hear, you know, one of us three tell them, hey, it's not quite right. We do get into it. And probably as with all protective systems, right, it all stems from your soil type. So, you know, I have to go back, take a look at my soil type, understand what I've got. You know, we've got A soil, which, you know, is in the books, yes. But really, by definition, if you look at the three things that are going to, you know, stop it from being an A soil, if it's been previously disturbed. And that, too, one thing, just a side note on that, people will ask, you know, well, what if it was 30 years ago? There's no date. If it was disturbed, it was disturbed. If it's been subjected to vibration, which, you know, caliche, hardpan, things like that, we're not going to dig by hand, or cracks and fissures. And both those two types, once you start to dig, you're going to end up with cracks. So we really don't have an A. So really B and C is where we live. B soils, it's I won't say a tricky one, but I think people get a false sense of security when it comes to calling something B. They automatically think it's a good cohesive soil, when in actuality, not all B soils are cohesive. And so when we look at them, we have, you know, angular gravel like crushed rock, for instance. If I have that as on top, it's not very good. We all know that. But if it's compressed down and it's compressed down enough, it could be considered a B soil because of the edges and it'll bind together. But once we start to dig and we unloosen those compression factors, it now becomes a less cohesive B. And as far as the standard's concerned, you can only bench in B and cohesive or better. So that's kind of a precursor of, okay, understanding the soils. And then the other one we have is our C soil. And when it comes to shoring and shielding, we have C60 and C80. C80, again, is in the book. That is what OSHA recognizes. C60 is an engineered soil type that is only found on tabulated data. And so, but when it comes to sloping and benching, there is no 60 or 80. It's a C type soil at that point, not a 60 or an 80.
Yeah. So when I like to talk about A soils for a minute and you talk about the previously disturbed situation, I like to tell people, look, if you come across one of those brick lined sanitary sewers that they laid at the beginning of the last century, it's been previously disturbed. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. So really, there is no situation where you are going to be working in dirt that is not fissured, not subject to vibration, and not been previously disturbed. So really, take A out of your vocabulary and take a look at possibly B or C. And our typical response to that is to assume C soil, assume worst case scenario, then possibly try to prove that you're in a B. But oftentimes people automatically classify their soils as a C, but Chris, we all know people use benches all the time.
Yeah, and in a typical class, I like to identify who my operators are, my excavator and backhoe operators are. And I'll ask, would you guys prefer sloping or benching? You know, OSHA doesn't care which option you use as long as you're, you know, doing it correctly. And I get a lot of operators saying, I like benching. Then I'll ask them, okay, what is your company's policy on classifying the soils? And they'll turn around and say, well, our company policy is everything is C soil. And as soon as they say our policy is C soil and they're benching, they're not going to, they've shot themselves in the foot. You know, OSHA would just say, okay, no benching allowed in C soils. And they're setting themselves up for failure or, you know, citation.
Yeah, I like to tell people the same thing too. It's like, Okay, so you use benching. Great. What visual and manual tests do you perform on your soil to identify your soil as a B or better? And usually I just get this blank stare, or people start looking around at their buddies and they go, well, you know, we kind of dig into the ground and it looks pretty cohesive. It looks pretty stable. So we just figure we can bench. The problem with that is assuming that your soils are C is you're accounting for worst case scenario. But if you just give a visual evaluation of your soil and determine that your soil is actually a B and you can bench in it, that's actually a disservice because you have to test the strength of the soil.
And again, that's where that whole cohesiveness comes into play. So again, with it being B, it needs to be B and cohesive. So again, those underlying, you know, if I cut my first cut at 4 foot and I see areas that it's popping off, I've got dirt or rock coming off of there, that is a less cohesive B. We cannot bench in that. We'll have to either slope it or do something else in there. But yeah, reviewing the soils, going over and understanding soil types is the basis, I think, for any of the protective systems, and definitely when it comes to sloping and benching. And it's what we see being misidentified is probably the best word to put it.
And so calculating your slope angles prior to contacting locate services might actually help you save a little bit of time and just take out a whole lot of guesswork.
Yeah, I find that, first of all, a lot of people, if I give them a scenario, hey, you're this deep, this wide at the bottom for B or C soils, how wide will you be or how wide will your cut be? And a lot of people don't know how to calculate that, or they're off by sometimes 4, 5, 6 feet in their cut. And when we're calling 811 to set up our locates, the contractor is supposed to tell them, hey, I'm going to dig this straight up and down 3 feet wide, and I'm going to use a shoring system, or we're going to lay this back for CSOIL and we're 18 feet wide. You're telling the locate people how much real estate you're going to be actually digging up. So when you're doing your pre-job planning, you're already thinking about sloping or benching. You should be thinking about that before you even set up your locates.
And taking into consideration a proper benching application and a proper sloping application is going to be key to that.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, you know, when we start talking about room, and this is where we get into, you know, when you talk to people about proper sloping and benching, not understanding the distance at the top is the exact same in B soil if you bench or you slope. And I think that's a big misconception that's out there, is people hear the term one-to-one with a B soil. So they automatically think, and again, sometimes it's through no fault of anybody's, it's just how they were taught, and that's what they know. But, you know, coming up 4 over 4, up 4 over 4, that's not the correct angle. So in order to bench correctly, the first vertical cut, you double that distance and pull that back horizontally. Now your steps can be up to 4 foot. They can be certainly be less than. These are not to exceed numbers, but you can certainly be, you know, at 4 or less. So if I came up 4, I'm going to pull back 8. Then I'm going to come up 4, which when you look at the diagrams that OSHA has, the toe, it used to be called the angle of repose. And for whatever reason, they've taken that out. So some of the old guys like Chris and myself out there who've been around, we've heard that term angle of repose forever. But from the toe out to the tips of the steps should be at least at a 1-to-1. So by doing that first double cut, that first vertical distance and horizontally pull back double that, it puts you on a 1-to-1 plane. And an example that I use, say somebody's 6 foot deep and they want to bench because they don't want to have to wait for something. They can come up 4 over 8 and then come up 2. And now if we draw that line from that toe out to the tip, it's going to be greater. It's going to be a better than a 1-to-1 because it's laid back even further. When we do a 1-to-1, if you draw that line and imagine in your mind up 4 over 4 and up 4 at 8 foot deep, you draw that line and it's really steep. And it's putting a lot of pressure on that first 4 foot cut, which it's not really designed for. I mean, it's a cohesive soil. It's a good soil, but it's not designed for that much pressure on there. So that's a big one that really needs to get out in the field, because we do, you know, right now, if the three of us went to 8 jobs, I bet we find 6 of them that are 1-to-1 and a couple of them. And I actually had one guy, I said, hey, great job on the bench. And he said, what? He thought he had pulled it back too far, when in actuality, he was spot on.
You can pull it back farther if you want to, you correct. Just can't have it less, right? So it's that first horizontal cut back has to be double the rest.
Yeah, it's sort of my litmus test on this when I ask the operators that like benching, why do they choose benching over sloping? If they give me the answer, less dirt to remove, or they get better production, that's pretty well telling me that they're not doing it correctly. Actually, if you're doing multiple bench designs correctly, you're actually removing a lot more dirt than if you'd simply sloped it. So that's sort of my litmus test to see if an operator is doing it correctly or incorrectly.
And when we're talking about correctly or incorrectly, make sure that we need to make sure that everybody understands that the maximum depth that you can use a sloper bench. So the maximum depth of your excavation to be able to use a sloper bench without engineering approval is 20 feet.
Yeah, and a lot of times when we're mixing and matching systems, I'm going to use a trench box or trench shield and sloper bench. Then we're going to find out that, hey, I've got a 10-foot tall box and I'm going to slope out the top, 15 feet on a 25-foot deep excavation. Once I pass that 20-foot threshold, even though I'm using a box in the lower section, I cannot use OSHA sloping and benching charts any longer. So now I need to hire an engineer to design the slope for that example, the top 15 feet, that we can no longer use OSHA's sloping and benching charts once we pass that 20-foot mark.
And to kind of tag on to that, too, one of the examples that I've seen out the field is somebody's 22 feet. 24 foot, somewhere in there. And they think, oh, I got to pull out that top, 4 feet, 4.5 feet. I got to get below 20. And I'll ask, why are you doing that? Because I have to get in, I have to be below 20. And in actuality, when it comes to shielding and shoring, that is your engineering, right? That's been stamped off. And there's other podcasts that actually go into that whole thing. And so when we're looking at that, if I'm going to pull out that top four, that has to be engineered. I'm actually setting myself up for a citation where if I were just to get a 4 foot stacker and put it on top, stay vertical, you're off and running. You're good. As long as your bottom shield calcs for 24, the middle one for 14, and the top one for 4, you're in complete compliance.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where the sloper bench is in relation to an excavation greater than 20 feet. Doesn't matter if it's the top 4 feet or if it's the bottom 4 feet, or you're doing a multiple bench system from the bottom to the top. If the total depth of your excavation is greater than 20 feet, if you want to use a sloper bench, you would have to get engineering approval. Otherwise, you cannot use OSHA's standards for sloping and benching in those applications. And now a word from our sponsor. In today's world, it is critical to have a partner that puts safety at the forefront. A partner who understands what you're up against. A partner you can count on to get you what you need when you need it. That's why United Rentals is here for you. Combining equipment, safety, experience, and data to help your team get the job done. United Rentals, here to help with the equipment and tools you need. To find a store nearest you, visit unitedrentals.com or call 1-800-UR-RENTS.
So if I get an engineer to write me something, it could be different than what the standard says.
Yeah, OSHA recognizes that an engineer can always supersede OSHA calculations. So I've had projects where the engineer looked at the soil reports and evaluated the job site, and we've had jobs that were a better situation than that what OSHA's tabulated data or engineering would have provided us.
So a competent person could also, as operations are taking place, a competent person needs to reevaluate your soil conditions too, and perhaps scaling or loose rock or debris off the side while they're using a sloper bench.
And this is something too, it's a part of our specific requirements, general requirements, if you want to call them that, of doing a daily inspection. And part of that inspection process is prior to start of work, looking for things, shifting of protective systems, and definitely with sloping and benching, have weather conditions changed? Have I gotten enough rain overnight to where maybe it's now a sea soil? We can't bench. I can't continue to have that bench. I'm going to have to slope that out or figure something else with that. But that comes as a part. And then as conditions change, you know, maybe we start, we've benched on Monday and Tuesday comes and half of Tuesday's great. Then we get some rain, or in some of the areas where people work, where maybe it's, you know, they got thawing, they get the mud season in the spring, right? Things are starting to thaw out. We're getting a lot more moisture in that, but going back and reevaluating soil conditions to see if things have changed. Now, if I've sloped out at 1.5 to 1, and you know, when we look at it, I've got some rocks and stuff on there. So good housekeeping tells me I need to get in there and scrape that off. We don't want any of that coming down below and maybe hitting somebody. But there is a term called distressed soil, and that is where a cave-in is imminent or likely to occur. And I some people will look and go, well, no, I don't think so. Well, I think about from OSHA's standpoint. If they're looking at it, there's some bulging going on, or I've got some cracks going on and it's just not looking good. There is actually a number that people don't quite understand, but you have to pull it back at least another 0.5 to 1. So that 1 to 1 that you had in the B soil should at least be 1.5 to 1, if not more. That 1.5 you had with C is now 2 to 1, if not more. So it's something that people need to really look at. You know, at the site when doing that, you know, it's not just glancing at it when you're doing your morning look at the protective system. It's actually looking at it a little bit tighter and making sure things are in good shape.
Chris, I know that you've spoken to a lot of OSHA inspectors. When they come onto a job site and they want to confirm that somebody has the proper slopes or the proper benches, how are they actually, what is their process for identifying the fact that they have a proper slope or bench?
Well, typically, I mean, the OSHA inspectors are trained, hey, it's a C soil. It's up to the contractor to prove to them if it's something less than the C soil. So if you think it's B, you're going to have to tell OSHA the visual and the manual test that you came up to come up with your B soils. As far as calculating the slopes, I've seen various state OSHA agencies versus federal have different ways to do it. Some are using a grade pole with an eye screwed in, and they use a 100-foot tape with a plumb bob to calculate it. Some are using high-tech methods like lasers that can calculate the slopes of the angles. I've seen some of the state agencies using that method. I'm old school. Give me I'll just make marks with my feet. You know, here's the width of the trench, and then I'll measure to the left. I'll measure to the right. And again, I've got a simple formula that if I know the depths, I can pretty well tell you how much real estate is going to be needed to be, here's what my cut should be at the top. Obviously, those cuts have got to be true. And, you know, we can't have one side at a 3/4 to 1 and the other side at a 2 to 1. They've got to be, you know, symmetrically in line. I've actually seen some contractors and even some OSHA have something as simple as a clear transparency that they hold that up to the trench. And this is 1 to 1. This is 1.5 to 1. And as simple as that sound, it does the job. So there's multiple ways that OSHA may show up showing how to do that.
There's also some other ways that you can actually do to kind of just verify that you have the proper slopes, right?
For those of us in the field, there's really an easy way to do this, especially when it comes to either sloping or benching. And to Chris's point, if you know what the angles are supposed to be in a B soil, if you double the depth and add the width at the bottom, that's what the distance from the top two tips should be. So when you slope out, if I was 20 foot deep, for instance, the max, and 3 feet wide at the bottom, my distance across should be 43 feet. If I bench, because it's at a 1 to 1 angle, the distance at 20 foot deep and 3 wide at the bottom should be 43 feet. So I'm not gaining anything by doing one or the other. And to Chris's point, you're actually pulling more soil when you bench, when you do it that way. But that's probably the easiest in the field to do. But I've also seen some people with iPhones. There's some gadgets that are on there, not just iPhones, but phones in general, that they can utilize to see what the distance is going across.
Just a quick little angle finder that is on your phone, and you can just, and at least it helps you in the interim get that, okay, are we at least close? And then you can measure and just confirm, okay, do we need to scale it back a little bit farther, or is it good to go? Now, another question that we get a lot in classes all the time is about cutting steps into the side of an excavation to use that as a method of access and egress. What do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, first of all, there's a roofing standard that is a 19-inch step-up rule. So we can't be stepping up a four-foot bench. You know, there's a 19-inch roofing standard that I have seen applied to trenching and excavation that we can't have more than a 19-inch step-up. So I've seen some contractors, you know, notch or kind of hand-dig steps on the side of their slopes. But the rule of thumb that OSHA uses, you have to be able to walk up on your own power, on your own two legs. You can't scramble up, you know, on all fours or pull yourself up with an extension cord or whatever. You have to be able to walk at an angle. And usually, unless you're a mountain goat or something, you're not going to be able to walk up a one-to-one slope or even a 1.5-to-1 slope. I think most people find that probably a 4-to-1 slope is what's going to be needed to, you know, walk up that angle.
And the term that OSHA uses, they actually, this was something that they kind of, there was an LOI that came out. The term they use is unencumbered. So if you think about that when you're going to be walking out, do I have to use my hands in any way? Am I going to have to kind of dig my heel, you know, my toes in, crawl, anything like other than walking directly out? No, you can't do it. And when it does come into cutting steps in there, I've always been told that it's would have to be engineered. To go into a side slope and do that. So I would tell you to default, get a hold of your local rep, get a hold of somebody and get a little more guidance on that.
And a safety concern when you're putting something like this together is we don't want workers working on the slopes that could kick off rocks, debris, you know, get material to be knocked off and slide into workers working below us. So, I mean, that's a consideration when you're thinking about having workers climbing up and down those slopes is that we're not going to create some kind of a new hazard by knocking off materials that can land on coworkers.
And to circle back on that about protecting people down below, I think we've used the term the 18-inch number about sloping out from the top. So everybody understands that's a minimum amount. So minimum of 18 inches out, you can slope out of a shield is what we've been discussing. And so I can go more than that, but keep in mind, it has to be at least 18. So if we 18 in the morning and by midday, it rolls in a little bit and we get some stuff sloughing down there, I still have 10 inches. We all know it's probably going to keep most things out, but we would be sightable at that point. So it has to be at least 18 inches down from the top at all times. So, you know, as that competent person, you're monitoring it, maybe put a couple other guys just to keep an eye on it for you. So you've got some other sets of eyes on it. But I know we've been saying the 18 inches and I just wanted to clarify that that's minimum.
A lot of people think that 18-inch rule comes into play with all shields extending above. And as OSHA has clearly, in through a letter of interpretation, has made understood that technically the trench shield does not have to extend 18 inches all the time. It's only in when you have a situation where you have a slope in conjunction with a shield at the bottom.
Yeah, the letter that came out addressing that basically says as long as everything is back a minimum of 2 feet and there's no danger of anything falling or rolling into the trench, your shield can be flush with the top.
Chris, any final thoughts, any additional considerations that could potentially be made or should be made when people are deciding to use a slope or bench?
No, I mean, it just being able to understand it, you've got to classify your soils and some simple calculations to figure out how wide my cut is going to be. I mean, I can look at the cut stakes. I can look at the profile in your blueprints. You tell me how wide your trench is going to be because of bedding requirements or the size of your bucket. I can pretty well tell you within a few inches probably how wide your cut is going to be at the top. And a good competent person should be able to do this just by looking at their blueprints or the cut stakes on the job site.
You know, just kind of tagging on with that, I think really it boils down to is really classifying soil and understanding if you are going to just say, well, we just call it all C, that you will not be allowed benching unless you specifically, and to Chris's point, do a manual test, do a visual test and come up with a B and cohesive type soil. And then again, understanding what those numbers are. And if you do bench, again, up 4 over 8, up 3 over 6, understanding it's double that first cut. But sloping and benching are, you know, definitely used quite a bit in the field. And it is one of the areas that we do see a little maybe miscommunication on some things and maybe some misinterpretation when looking at diagrams that OSHA has. So hopefully this has cleared things up for people.
And look, as trainers, we all appreciate the fact that you're trying to keep your workers safe and your employees safe, and you're trying to do it right. Maybe you just don't have all of the information. Maybe you just have a misunderstanding of a couple of things. And that's what our goal was here today, to just kind of give you some, you know, some things that we commonly see and talk about in classes that are maybe misunderstood. And so this is just kind of fine tuning maybe your education a little bit more. So this has been Behind the Standards with United Rentals. If you have any questions about this topic or have any suggestions about other topics that you want to be discussed, feel free to send an email to urtspodcast@ur.com. For additional content and training information, go to trenchsafetyevents.com. I want to thank Eric and Chris for being with me today. And on behalf of all of us, thank you for listening. Have a great day and stay safe.